What a great introduction. I'm so happy to be here. I feel very welcomed by the eldership who asked me to be here. And as I look at this congregation, I just see such fond memories going back over at least the last 20 years for me. Sorry, Ed, you got me way beat there. But I just see such pillars in the church and such strong faith. And as I was thinking about things today, I was thinking, you know, what is a good universal message? I was like, I'm not sure who's going to be visiting over, you know, Thanksgiving weekend, who might be here and have some fun surprises and things. But I wanted to make a universal message that would appeal to all of us. So today, as we were reading through Hebrews 11, it was a little bit dark. There was a lot of bad things going on, right? And we're going to focus a little bit on hardships, but not just stay there, but really, how do we overcome hardships? Let's not stay in that hardship situation, but how do we overcome those? So thank you for the song service. Thank you for all being there. If you have your Bibles with you, you can turn to Hebrews 11. My Bible creases open nicely, Hebrews 11, and then a little bit on to 12. We will be there most of today. So have you ever experienced hardship? I have. I'm sure you have as well. Hardships are challenges in our daily life. They're a condition it's hard to endure. Hardships refer to severe suffering, to affliction, to privation, difficulty, adversity, misfortune, all those things. And hardship encompasses just a wide range of difficulties that can be physical, financial, emotional, and even spiritual in nature. Hardships profoundly impact a person's quality of daily life. Well, let's take a look at each type of these. So physically, have you ever been sick? Yeah, some people are. We have a long list of people that are sick. Have you been ill? Have you had a major surgery, broken an arm, experienced chronic pain, or had a heart condition or a disease like cancer? Each of these are uncomfortable. They require time and exhaustive recovery, if even possible. Financially, have you ever lost a job? Have you been in debt? Have you owed taxes? Have you had medical bills that you weren't sure how to pay or suffered due to economic instability? Any of these can cause strain, can cause stress, can cause worry on a person. Emotionally, have you ever been lonely? Have you had a condition like depression or anxiety? Have you experienced separation from a loved one, either through divorce or even through death? This can lead to a feelings of helplessness, sadness, turmoil, and despair. Hardships come in many forms, and they affect people in various ways, oftentimes intersecting and compounding upon each other. I have a personal story I was going to share about Christy and the kids. About 2 years ago, Christy and the kids were in a car accident. Christy was, you know, driving home, obeying the speed limit, doing all the things she was supposed to be doing, being a responsible driver. And then there was a driver, a motorist, who lost focus and collided with our vehicle. Everyone was okay, mostly. I remember arriving on the scene. It was the summer, and I remember picking our belongings through a hot vehicle. Like, what things are we going to keep, and what things are just going to get tossed away? I mean, that's a weird feeling. What things are we going to keep? What are we going to get rid of? I remember picking things up off the ground that had kind of scattered and gotten away from the car, just things scattered by the side of the road. I remember Christy acting pretty calm, but I remember the kids being pretty shaken up emotionally. They'd never been in an accident before. We were without a vehicle for some time, and I remember spending hours just negotiating with the insurance companies. Anybody ever done that? Just trying to find another amount of time was just spent trying to find a vehicle. This was just after COVID and supply and demand. Whew, that was tricky. And Christy was all the time was having to go to a myriad of chiropractic appointments and doctor's appointments for her and the kids and to correct her spine and her neck. And at some point, somebody lent us a vehicle and we were able to do some things. But before that, we really had to coordinate with one another and say, hey, are we going to go to this or are we not? How are we going to get there? What's this going to look like? Who can we ask now or do we just skip this? We were only doing those essential tasks, right? And that can take an emotional toll. We lost money replacing our vehicle, That was kind of a financial toll. And we had that, all those medical appointments, all those medical bills and things. That was definitely a health concern for all of us for a while. Today, 2 years later, things are just about all resolved. I think there's still a few things we're still kind of working out, but that incident is almost all forgotten. But as we were in that situation, we were just scared. The kids were scared to ride in a vehicle, and our lives were just disrupted. It was a major disruption, and we had no free time, no margin to do anything extra. And we were stressed for multiple reasons. Our focus was on the situation we found ourselves in, and we had a hard time. I just remember thinking, like, will this ever end? Is there any end in sight? And just thinking, there's no way. We're never going to get through this. Lo and behold, we're through it. But we had a hard time, and we experienced hardship. I thought that was a story that kind of helped kind of give a quick introduction to some of this. And I know looking out that some of you have experienced far harder things, that you've overcome much more difficult things. But I think these are things that we can all relate to. And chances are that we're going to face even more hardships throughout our lives. So the question is, what do you do when you experience hardship? What do you do? And how do you endure it? Let's go to Hebrews 12, verse 1. It says, therefore, we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So as we look back on 2024, you know, it was definitely an election year. Can I say that from up here? I'm not sure. But if we look further back, it was definitely also an Olympic year. We'll be known as a year for the Olympics. And thinking of how we were successful with swimming, how we were successful with gymnastics in those Paris Olympics. We were also successful track and field. And what I really was always impressed with the Olympics is just how these athletes trained for years and years and have honed their craft and control their bodies to just really optimize their performance. In swimming and running, you know, the distance between that, you know, gold medal and maybe like fourth place was sometimes measured in small decimal points of hundredths of seconds. It was always super impressive. And in the broadcast, the athletes weren't just these machines that would just do this and like leave the field, but really they started to humanize each of these athletes and give them a story. And they started to talk about the athletes overcoming hardships, which create just these enduring stories for us. Recently, I ran across a story from the 1992 Olympics about a runner named Derek Redmond. I'm not sure if you know his story. But in 1992, in the Barcelona Olympics, Derek Redmond lined up for the semifinal, the men's 400-meter race, with dreams of winning a medal. Having overcome numerous injuries throughout his career, this race represented his relentless pursuit of Olympic glory. This race would usually take about 44 seconds for the winner to complete, and as it began, Redmond got off to a strong start, his powerful stride showcasing his determination and his training. But about 20 seconds in, it was about 250-meter mark, disaster struck. Redmond felt a sharp pain shoot through his leg, and he crumpled to the ground with a torn hamstring. Agony etched across his face, both from the physical pain as well as the heartbreak of seeing his Olympic dream shatter in an instant. Medical staff rushed on to his aid, but Derek had a different plan. He was determined to finish the race he had started. Struggling to his feet, Derek began hobbling down the track, each step a testament to his indomitable spirit. The crowd watched in stunned silence, realizing they were witnessing something extraordinary. As Derek limped along, his father, Jim Redmond, emerged from the stands. Pushing past security, he ran onto the track to help his son. With tears in his eyes, Jim wrapped his arm around Derek, providing the support he desperately needed. Together, father and son made their way toward the finish line. The crowd, moved by this incredible display of determination and love, rose to their feet and cheered them on. The stadium erupted in applause, and there wasn't a dry eye in the house. Despite the excruciating pain and overwhelming emotion, Derek kept moving forward. With his father by his side, he finally crossed the finish line, completing a journey that was far more significant than winning any medal. This moment transcended sport, becoming an enduring symbol of perseverance, resilience, and the power of the human spirit. Derek Redmond stores a powerful reminder that true victory lies not in winning, but in refusing to give up, no matter the odds. His courage and determination continue to inspire countless people around the world, embodying the very essence of endurance. It's one of those stories that you read and you're inspired by. You're like, you know what? I can do great things too. It's like you're saying, you know, you read it and you're thinking, if he can overcome, if he can persevere through his hardship, I can too. That's one of those things that I really like about the Olympics. The Olympic spirit has just seen how people overcome. Back in Hebrews 12, it says, verse 1 there, it says, "Therefore, we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that's set before us." From this verse, I see several things. First, it's a foot race. Just like Redmond had a foot race, this is a foot race as well. And we have a race ourselves. We're all amid a race, and there is some finish line ahead. Next, there are distractions. There are weights and things encumbering us. There's temptation and sin meant to entangle us and ensnare us. Just as runners change out of those jumpsuits and discard any extra clothing or items that would slow them down, we too are to put off any practices or other conditions that would interfere with or take away from our service to the Lord. Then, we're to run with endurance and perseverance. Another way to think about this is to keep a constant pace. What's the opposite of a constant pace? What does an irregular or unsteady pace look like in a Christian race? Well, maybe it's a lot of momentum one day, one week, one season of our lives, followed by a slowdown of distractions in our life. We might lose focus on the race or on the finish line. Instead, we're called to endure and to persevere. Finally, we're not alone. Just like Redmond was not alone, Hebrews 12:1 says that there's a cloud of witnesses. In ancient times, that for a foot race, this meant those observing to make sure the runners followed all the rules. But we know this refers to that throng of worthy individuals from Hebrews 11. Those heroes displayed faith through hardship, and their example should serve as an incentive for us to do our best when the going gets tough for us. Essentially, if they can do it, so can we. Well, let's survey Hebrews 11 and see the cloud of witnesses who endured various trials and overcame through their faith in God and often their belief in something greater yet to come. So in Hebrews 11, verse 4, we see Abel, who suffered a more excellent sacrifice. I'm sorry, who offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. In verse 5, there's Enoch, who pleased God. We hear of Noah in verse 7, who acted to build an ark despite not being able to see danger coming on the world. Next, there's Abraham, who left the comfort of his homeland at God's command, not knowing where he was going and the dangers that might present themselves, to receive an inheritance. We get a hint here that that Abraham waited for a heavenly city. There's Sarah in verse 11, who received strength to conceive. Why was that? Because she judged God to be faithful. We see Isaac, we see Jacob, we see Joseph. Starting in verse 23, there's Moses, who rejected his status as the prince of Egypt. I've always marveled at this, that he could have been the prince of Egypt and was, but he aligned himself instead with the Israelite slaves. He was chased out of Egypt by Pharaoh and his armies. He crossed the Red Sea, endured wanderings in the desert, never to set foot in the physical promised land. There was Joshua in verse 30, who obeyed God's command and saw the secure walls of Jericho crumble to the ground. It then says that there was Gideon, there was Barak, there was Samson, there was Jephthah, there was David, there was Samuel. There's all this cloud of witnesses. It mentions someone who stopped the mouths of lions. Well, that reminds me of Daniel in Daniel chapter 6. It mentions the one who quenched the violence of fire, which reminds me of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were thrown in the fiery furnace by King Nebuchadnezzar and miraculously were saved by God in Daniel chapter 3. It talks about those who escape the edge of the sword. I can't help but think of David in all his wanderings and being chased by Saul. I think of Elijah who was chased. I think of Elisha. It's just some examples of those who were chased by the sword. There's so many examples. And additionally, we can think of Job and others throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament who were challenged yet overcame. Their stories didn't stop at, I'm challenged, but they went on to define them as overcomers. I remember those words that we sang this morning about overcoming. And they overcame through faith and God's deliverance. I love verse 38. It says, of whom the world was not worthy. Thinking about that. These true accounts are of real people, men and women like you and me, who have exemplified endurance and faith, serving as models to us to remain steadfast in the face of trials. You know, there's a phrase, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Well, often, you know, I don't really feel tough when I'm going through hardship. I don't feel tough at all. I feel puny. I feel small. I feel like there's no way I can overcome this. I am filled with doubt. There's no way. So what about this? When the going gets tough, let's rephrase it here, the Christian relies on God to get going. Oh, it doesn't really have the same ring to it, but there's this idea. When the going gets tough, the Christian relies on God to get going. The Christian knows that God is with him. The Holy Spirit abides inside, and that all things are possible through God who strengthens and empowers us, Philippians 4:13. So let's go back to Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3. We've already read the first verse. Therefore, we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Let's keep going. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. When I think of that, when the going gets tough, the tough get going, I said I felt puny. This is how I feel. I feel weary and I feel discouraged in my soul. So these verses are about how do you prevent that? How do you not do that? Well, when we think about this, again, with that running metaphor, a runner should forget the things behind him and look toward the goal, toward that finish line and what would mean to reach it. Likewise, the Christian should have his eyes on Jesus, who set the goal at the end of a faithful life. The word author there means the one who sets an example for others. Jesus initiated this. He was the source of this. He began the race. And finisher is the one who carries out that example by a faithful life unto the end. This denotes the faith of the gospel as it is demonstrated by the life of Jesus Christ. He was the perfecter of the faith. He was the goal. He's bringing the race to its final conclusion. It says the joy that was set before Jesus was being the Savior of the world, even though it required him to die on the cross. He may have been focused on the salvation of humanity. He may have been focused on the restoration of mankind. He may have been focused on that joy of souls being redeemed and reconciled to God. Essentially, the idea was that the joy was so great that it overshadowed the suffering he endured on the cross. It talks about despising, meaning to belittle or to count as nothing, the shame of such a death. It was bad enough to die at all, but it was humiliating to die by crucifixion because only the worst of criminals were usually executed by this means. But Jesus willingly endured humiliation and suffering for our sake, for my sake, for each of your sakes as well. Christ was rewarded for his humble service by being seated at the right hand of God. And those who fashion their lives after the pattern, after the image, after the standard set by Jesus will be rewarded too by being permitted to live with Jesus and God for eternity. We talked earlier about the hardship we have suffered and that those in Hebrews 11 have suffered yet overcome. If they can do it, so can we, right? Did our Lord suffer hardship? Yes, he did. Absolutely. The account of Jesus' final week showcases his endurance, his determination, his ultimate triumph through suffering and hardship for us. So here's a recap of Jesus' overcoming hardship. During the final week of his life, Jesus endured immense physical and emotional suffering. The journey began at the Last Supper, where he predicted his betrayal. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed in agony, anticipating the pain that he was about to endure. His anguish was so intense that his sweat became like drops of blood, yet he remained resolute, accepting God's will. Next, Jesus was betrayed by his friend Judas. He was arrested. He was subjected to a series of unjust trials. He faced false accusations, beatings, and mockeries from the soldiers. And despite his innocence, he was condemned to death. Jesus endured severe physical torment as he was scourged, and he was forced to carry his cross to Golgotha. Each step is a testament of his indomitable spirit. Despite the excruciating pain and overwhelming emotion, Jesus kept moving forward to Golgotha. At Golgotha, Jesus was nailed to the cross, experiencing excruciating pain and humiliation. I think of that word excruciating. They actually had to invent a new word to come up with the pain that it was experienced during a crucifixion. That word excruciating comes from the idea of crucifixion. But despite the agony, he refused to come down from the cross, remaining steadfast to his mission to save humanity. His final words, "It is finished," signifies the completion of his sacrificial work. Jesus' death was not the end, but a crucial part of the redemptive plan. On the third day, Jesus rose from the dead, demonstrating his victory over sin and death. His resurrection is the cornerstone of Christian faith, offering hope and eternal life to all who believe and obey. This triumph through suffering continues to inspire millions around the world, symbolizing the ultimate victory of life over death. Earlier, I read an account of Derek Redmond, who demonstrated endurance and determination despite his injury. But Jesus showed unwavering commitment to his mission despite unimaginable suffering. And this highlights the power of perseverance and a profound impact of love and sacrifice. The account of Jesus' endurance, from his agony in the garden to his death on the cross and subsequent resurrection, serves as a powerful inspiration for each one of us. It reminds us that true victory often comes through enduring great trials, and that the love and support of those who care for us can help us overcome even the most insurmountable challenges and hardships. So, in conclusion, are we going to suffer hardship again? Yeah, we probably will. But more importantly, what will you do when you experience that hardship? Consider the accounts of these throughout the Bible who persevered. Consider your brothers and sisters in Christ around you. And consider him. Consider Jesus, who endured such hostility. Look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for strength and endurance. At this time, we invite those who have not placed their trust in Jesus to do so, accepting his gift of salvation, the promise of the Holy Spirit, and eternal life to those who persevere. This congregation can help you in a way. Make your intentions known as we stand and sing Softly and Tenderly.